911, what's the nature of your emergency? Good morning, police, fire, military, and families, and to everybody who is listening in on the Tactical Living Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Walton. Very, very sick today, but we're going to power through it because I have somebody that I have been looking forward to interviewing on our show for a very long time, Mr. Vance Rowe. Vance, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
Vance is one of my favorite names. I think I told you that the very first time that I met you. Like, Vance is the coolest name. I don't know anybody else named Vance. And it's funny because ChatGPT tells me I'm supposed to introduce you from the front lines to the yoga mat. And I'm really excited to be able to get into just kind of the evolution of how all of that happened. Because thank you. I actually made this myself. Now, we're going to be giving away a popcorn movie set, and if for some reason nobody wins it, then I'm going to order it and send it to myself because it looks pretty awesome. So whoever comments the most within 24 hours, I'm going to go ahead and send that over to you. So if you have questions, then please drop them down below. Vance is in our group, and he's incredibly friendly, and I know that he would love to be able to help in any way that he can. So getting into it, Vance, tell us a little bit about your background.
Certainly. So I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I left there and went to college outside of Philadelphia. And during the summers, I was working for the Ocean City Police Department as a summer employee. I started as a meter maid. I was, you know, lowly 19 years old, but knew I wanted to get a criminal justice degree and just started working in it very early on. I became a seasonal police officer. After that, I actually did my college internship in Ocean City, and then I just stayed at the beach. And that was 22 years as a police officer. And inside of that, I did quite a few different kind of job tasks. Everybody always talks about, you know, patrol cops answering calls, arresting people, going to court and stuff like that. But I got to do some other interesting things that are maybe more behind the scenes, admin work, recruiting, going to schools, talking about being a police officer, trying to get people to come down here. And doing backgrounds, I finally got into the last end. The end part of my police career was all about doing polygraphs. So I did that for about 8 years. And and then I transitioned over to dispatch about a year and a half ago. And that was actually out of injury, not necessarily just because I wanted to make a switch. And the injury was what kind of set off the what I like to say is I went through this storm of different things that were going on, and it was one thing after another, after another. The injury is what really was the last straw for me. So I had my own issues with mental health. And that's when I kind of found yoga, or more like I say yoga found me. And that's why I kind of got into what I'm doing now, which is teaching yoga, doing open classes. I got into this exclusively to teach first responders and military, but we can certainly dive a little bit deeper into my story and kind of like where I was and like why this helped me.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I just had this conversation with an officer where I was coaching and mentoring him on the importance of having something else as a backup plan, as a contingency, just in the event that something were to happen. And in his mind, his police career is it for him. He wants to be a police officer until the day he dies, and he's not planning for anything outside of his career. So this is perfect in terms of having that important conversation, because I don't think a lot of officers do have that open conversation. So if you don't mind, talk to us about some of the truths within the midst of that storm that you mentioned.
Okay. So for me personally, I was very wrapped up in the idea of being a police officer. And it was generally the first thing that anybody ever knew about me. Nobody knew me as, you know, like neighbor, friend, son. Like, first thing was, this guy's a cop. And like, I didn't want to tell people that at parties or anything like that, because everybody A, wants to be a cop, or B, had a bad experience with a cop and wants to tell you all about it. So didn't really want to talk about it. Anyway, so where I kind of maybe went askew is I didn't have a lot of downtime I don't sit still really well. And so even when I was off, I would do police related things. So even if that wasn't actual work, it was doing things related to the FOP, related to contract stuff or volunteering or doing certain events that way, everything police related. So at the time, and I like to say this started somewhere around 2014 for me, I was working an awful lot of hours. And Ocean City, I know not everybody is probably familiar with it, is a beach town on the Atlantic Ocean. And we are a resort community, which means from like May to October, we were very, very busy because a lot of people were visiting our town. So that means that the police officers have to work more and more hours. So I was generally working roughly 60 hours a week on patrol. And then I would also do that in the off season as a polygraph examiner, because I had to get our applicants ready to go and screen them. So I was doing 60 hour weeks for the better part of maybe 8 or 9 months. And I just was starting to get frayed. Honestly, I didn't have anything else. It was literally like work 6 days, take that last day, sleep, do laundry, you know, rinse, repeat, go back and do it all over again. I stopped doing the things that I once enjoyed. Like I was into running, I was into working out, I was into going to the beach, but I never felt like doing anything. All I wanted to do was just kind of lay on the couch. And later on, I started to figure out why that was. But so at that point, at the end of 2016, that's when I got hurt and I fell off my police bike. I tore my knee up. And to this day, I still have nerve damage that makes my left foot burn all the time. So that's what ultimately ended my police career. But really what happens to me after that injury is my alcohol use skyrockets. And listen, truth be told, I was probably a problem drinker starting in like college, but it was just accepted because we're college kids and this is what college kids do. They party, they play beer pong. You know, I get on the job and our the way that we would release steam is we would go out and have a couple cocktails. After I got hurt, I was really in this kind of like no man's land. And they thought that the nerve would regenerate in about 2 years, and it never did. And I never got better. And it's kind of like getting forgotten about after a while, because they're like, well, sorry about your luck. And at that point, when I say skyrocketed, I mean like blackout drunk a couple days a week. And usually like waking up on the couch, not knowing how I got there. Nobody would have ever known that I had a problem because I could pull it together completely at work. But having this like feeling of hopelessness, despair, drinking constantly. And the one thing that I knew of, you know, like the one thing I really identified with was being a police officer. And even though I wasn't wearing a uniform at the time, because I was doing polygraphs and stuff like that, I was still very proud to be a police officer, and that was gone. And that's when I really started to have these thoughts of maybe I don't know, maybe I don't need to be around anymore. And then it became a little more like, all right, well, I'm not going to be around anymore, and here's how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell you that thought is constant for a little while, and maybe about a year. And what really rocked my world was a police officer that I worked with in the city of Salisbury took his life in November of 2018. And that was the catalyst for me to tell my wife that I was in the same place, that there's something wrong with me and I need some help. And it was at that point we started talking to my primary care doctor, changing some medications around. Now, the one thing that I wasn't doing at the time is I wasn't honest with anybody about the alcohol use. I mean, my wife saw me doing it, but I'd say it's like 9 months later that she actually confronts me about my alcohol use. And it was a very uncomfortable conversation, to say the least. And I didn't intend to stop drinking out of that conversation. I just was not going to drink for the next 24 hours because I don't want to listen to this again. I don't want to deal with this embarrassment. And then it kind of snowballed, and I'm a little competitive. So I didn't drink the next day. I didn't drink the next week. I didn't drink the next month. That is now 4.5 years, not drinking. And I have leaned on some really strong people in my life. And I'm very fortunate to have those people that I can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling a little bit. Can we talk about this? And what I'm really proud of is a friend of mine had started a first responder recovery group down here. And so we meet twice a month and we all just get together, and it doesn't even matter what we talk about. It's just the feeling of community, because I'm going to tell you that in those times where I was kind of lost and I really felt I was starting to isolate myself an awful lot, and I felt like I was all by myself is really the way that I like to put it. And I thought, you know, there's nobody that can understand this. There's nobody that'll ever be this alone, lost, whatever. And the crazy part is when I listen to everybody else, when we share in groups and stuff like that, everybody has the same feelings. So what that says to me is you're never alone, because we're all here. We're all struggling a little bit. Maybe some people are struggling a little more than others, but you just got to be able to, it's like that first hurdle. You know, you got to find that person that you trust and be like, there's something not quite right. And I need a little help. So I know that that's heavy stuff right there. Where the yoga part comes in is it's within a couple days of my wife confronting me about the alcohol use. And the reason that I say yoga found me is because I just decided that I was going to go to a class for the first time. And I had thought about going to a class for a long time, but I didn't want to go because I thought I'm going to stand out. I'm not a small person. I'm distinct. Let's say that. And so I go my first time, and then I end up going like 3 or 4 times that week. And at the end of 30 days, I actually went back to my wife and I'm like, hey, I love this. I'm going to teach this to cops and firefighters. And what I was finding, the reason that I liked it, is all these bad emotions that I had stored inside of me for so long. Finally, there was like a release valve. And the analogy that I like to look at, that I like to use, is a pressure cooker, that you have to open the lid and let a little bit of that steam out, or else it's going to explode. And I feel like I was really going down that road where I was coming close to exploding. And this is now my release valve. This is how I can let go of things. So that's why I decided that I wanted to teach it. So I have now been to, I did my 200 hour yoga teacher training a couple months later. I have also been trained through both Warriors at Ease and Veterans Yoga Project, which are specific to military, but they are, everything that they teach is applicable into the first responder world. I just finished IRS training this past weekend. I am in the process of doing my 300 hour advanced teacher training, and I will start the bridge program of yoga for first responders in a week, which will take my 200 hour and then just get me to teach kind of more in line with what they do. So I got a lot going on, yoga teacher wise. I would like to, at this point, design a program of my own. And I would like to take people like me, and I would like to teach them how to teach yoga. So that's ultimately kind of where I'm going. I think that'll give me some reach. That'll give me some impact. I'm still trying to find ways to get in and teach cops, firefighters, military, you know, and people that are just like me, people that have been problem solvers, have been fixers for all this time. And they've dealt with these traumas on a daily basis. And I was, if you're familiar with the movie, PTSD 911, there's a clinician in there, and he actually makes the statement that the public outsources their trauma to first responders. And I couldn't put it in that, you know, things that people can't deal with, they call police or they call firefighters and they're like, I can't deal with it. You deal with it. And then those folks have to deal with it. And to the point where they're going to deal with a couple hundred in their life when, let's say, normal people might deal with like 2 to 5 in their life. So that has to go somewhere and your body has to be able to process that. And not to be real sciencey, but when we live in this constant heightened state of like fight or flight, where we're constantly turning our sympathetic nervous system on because we're always on, we can't process any of that stuff in that environment. So the whole idea of yoga, the whole idea of meditation, the whole idea is to settle the nervous system down so that your body can process what it needs to process. And I'm not saying that this is the only thing. I'm saying this is the tool that has worked for me. I do go to therapy still. There's a number of different healing modalities that I try, but the one that rang the absolute strongest for me was yoga. And that's why I did what I'm doing.
Yeah, there's a lot there. First of all, thank you for your vulnerability. And thank you for saving my voice on the mic this morning. I know we only have a few minutes left here, but I want to go back to the point where you said that you had the conversation with your wife and you already decided to just not drink for 24 hours, but you're a very competitive person. So you decided to sort of challenge yourself. I'm wondering what was going through your mind mentally that made that switch from, okay, I'm just going to kind of shut her up. So as you said, to doing it for yourself for longer than the 24 hours. What was
so
that?
All right. So what I didn't tell you is she actually took videos and took photos of me from the night before and how I was acting and how out of control I really was. Mm. So there was, when you say, what was I feeling? I was feeling deep, deep, deep shame and deep embarrassment. And so when I didn't drink for the next 24 hours, it was because I don't want to have this conversation. When I say competitive, I mean like, all right, well, I didn't drink for 24 hours. Can I go for 48? And then can I go for 72? You know, all right, so now it's been 2 days. Let's see if I can go for a week. And please understand, that's not the first time I quit drinking. I had quit a couple times for like a month or maybe 6 weeks just to prove to myself that I didn't have a drinking problem. But what I would do is then I would come back to it and oh man, would I make up for it. And I just get obliterated drunk. And I hugely, was a problem drinker.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Such a great concept. And I know yoga can be very beneficial, not only psychological health, but for the body as well. Yeah. And getting into that, Vance, what is some of just the rhetoric or the conversation that you have seen now from other people after you've sort of paved this path to normalize something that maybe wasn't so normal like yoga in the realm of first responders?
Sure. So I like to say that I try to make it not so hippy dippy. And because I know that, I get it. Everybody's got Facebook, everybody's got Instagram, and everybody's seen all kinds of crazy yoga poses where people are twisting themselves into pretzels and doing handstands. And that's just not what it has to be. I like to say that it's a lot of mindfulness, a little bit of movement, a little bit of music. And the whole idea is that you start to feel back into your body again and get out of your head. So we get so trapped in our own heads that we keep thinking about things that happened, you know, far, far before now and far, far, you know, from now. So we can't live in that present moment. Well, if you're balancing on one foot, you have to stay in that present moment or you're going to fall. So the whole idea is that you can actually bring all your awareness back into your body so that you can feel again. And what I didn't realize probably at the time, now I certainly realize it a little bit more now, is the whole reason that I would drink is to not feel, is I had all these bad feelings about myself or my condition or what was going on. And I would drink to make it go away. And the really sad part about all that is you don't just numb bad emotions. you numb everything. So the idea to feel again started to come back around late 2009 into 2020 when I really started to get into yoga. Now, when I actually start learning how to teach it, and now I've gone a little bit farther and done some advanced teacher trainings, this is now how I understand a little more about neuroscience and the effects that yoga has on your brain and the reason that yoga works. So that's the kind of stuff that I try to implement into every single class I teach now, where everybody will walk out feeling a little bit better in their body and especially feeling a lot better in their mind.
Yeah, that's amazing. You are such an inspiration, and I love having you on this show, because I think that a lot of people, just from my experience, they're looking for alternatives, and not to say that it has to be a replacement, but perhaps a supplement to some other types of those modalities that you made mention of. So I think that it's great to normalize something like yoga and just getting more grounded and finding that connection with your body and your mind again. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your vulnerability with us. And I do have one last question that I'm trying to ask every guest before we finish up. Okay. And I just want to know if there's anything I should have asked you that I haven't.
Okay. Hey, so very early on, you had mentioned about somebody that you were coaching that was very wrapped up in the law enforcement. And so one of the things, actually, I'm going to tell you two things that, number one, we got to learn how to better take care of ourselves. That work is not first and foremost. And listen to a guy that would put work ahead of just about everything else, because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. When I say self-care, I mean like prioritizing sleep in your life, prioritizing things that are not your job, spending time in nature, family, gratitude, being grateful for the things that you have in your life. Okay, so that's part one. Part two, find a hobby, folks. Find a hobby that is not your job. And you don't have to do my thing. That's, yoga is what I found. That became my thing. Just find something that's not your job. Because when it comes down to it, that job is never going to love you back. And put your passion into something. You know, I certainly found a bigger, greater purpose in doing yoga. And I certainly want to share that with my brothers and sisters and people that are just like me, because I think there's a lot of people that are struggling right now and they don't know what to do with it. So if this can be a way that I can help in some small way, I'd love to help them. And I will start putting more stuff out on YouTube that are just free classes that people can try it for 15, 20 minutes, decide they like it. If they want more, we can certainly do Zoom classes, whatever. I'm up for whatever, but this is still very new to me. I have only been teaching yoga for 3 years, so still kind of figuring some stuff out. But I always appreciate the opportunity to share my story, kind of where I am and where, more importantly, where I was to where I am. In the hopes that I can help other people.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for that puppy yoga. Yeah. I've seen videos like that of the puppy yoga. That looks incredible. You guys can reach out to Vance at yoga-rescue.com. I'll put his information down below. I'm not feeling quite better, but I'm getting there. I'll probably go downstairs and take a nap before I start working today. Thank you for asking. Vance, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And if you guys have any more questions, or if you want to win a family popcorn kit, then make sure to keep dropping your questions and comments down below. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Vance.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, everybody.